It's important to remember how imprecise the mechanical clocks were. There was a joke about the fact that they differ one from another. The shift from what was called canonical time, the time of the church, to astronomical or merchant's times, was greeted with skepticism, ribaldry, and of course, because the mechanical clocks were so closely involved with disciplining the workforce, with an enormous amount of resistance. Destroying clocks was often part and parcel of riots by overexploited workers right through the 14 and 1500s. That's one kind of development in which clocks pretty quickly come to stand for a symbol of their ownership of time that makes me work. But alongside that, we also see the domestication of the clock. Because by the early to mid 1400s, a further new technical development has taken place, in which instead of falling weights as the great mechanism that drives clocks along, one starts to use an uncoiling spring. And that requires a great deal of ingenuity. It involved the invention of a device called a fusee, which keeps the force exerted by the uncoiling spring constant. Once you have spring-driven clocks, you can make them quite small. You can bring them into the home, initially of the wealthy, and then really of a vast proportion of society, so that domestic time with these small, admittedly precious and expensive, but very widely distributed clocks become a common sight in most European homes. And in that sense, the distribution of time starts not so much to rely on central institutions, the church, the market, but rather the possibility of having personal time, domestic time. And there's clearly a relation between the need for the domestication of time and the emergence of a sense of individualism. I don't think it's too fanciful to associate the emergence of a kind of Renaissance individualism, of an absolutism over the self, with the appearance, which one starts to see from, say, the 1500s onwards, of very large numbers of skilled clockmakers and large numbers of domestic clocks.